For this week's Spotlight, we're in one of the most beautiful regions of the Czech Republic, the Krkonoše, or Giant Mountains, straddling the Czech-Polish border, 100 kilometres northeast of Prague. These are the Czech Republic's highest mountains, rising well over 1,000 metres, and at this time of year they're decked with a thick blanket of snow. The Giant Mountains is a wonderfully poetic and evocative name, and indeed, Krkonoše does have its very own legendary giant, known as Krkonoš in Czech and Rybacál in German. Margit Bartošová grew up here in the mountains before the war and is steeped in the Krkonoš legend. It doesn't take much to persuade her to break into song. Margit Bartošová singing the praises of the mountains, the giant Krkonoš, and the beautiful countryside. She's singing in German, and this comes as no surprise. Until 1945, the Giant Mountains were almost entirely German-speaking. After the Second World War, most of the German speakers were expelled, taking with them many of the traditions and legends associated with the mountains. But some, like Margit Bartošová, whose family was half Czech, were able to stay. Her memories are a bridge to a past that has been all but lost, and she is full of stories from the mountains.
Whenever I take tourists up to the top of the mountain Sněžka or Sněhkove, I always tell them what my parents told me. There are two lakes below the mountain on the Polish side. They always told us that these lakes were where the babies came from. The boys were brought by the stork and the girls by the crow. I once asked an old lady, why does the crow bring the girls? And she told me that the lady stork would be so busy chattering that the baby would fall out of her beak.
Legend has it that the giant Krkonoš lives somewhere up on the bleak, windswept plains. He's usually portrayed as a bearded, pipe-smoking character, with enormous power to do both good and evil in the mountains. His name in German, Rybacál, means the one who counts turnips, and there's a legend that he once kidnapped the Princess Emma and carried her up to his lair in the mountains. To stop her mind wandering to thoughts of escaping, he left her with an order to count his turnips. Margit Bartošová's husband, Miroslav, is something of a Krkonoš or Rybacál expert. He's worked for over 40 years in the Krkonoše Museum in the little town of Vrchlabí. So who better to ask about the origins of the legend?
Most people agree that Krkonoš is a personification of the forces of nature. I'll explain. The people who first settled here often had to face sudden, unexpected changes in the weather, so sudden that they were hard to explain rationally. I must admit I know what they mean. I've experienced something very similar up near the source of the Elbe with my son. It was a glorious summer day. Then suddenly, for half an hour, the heavens opened with huge hailstones. Then the sun came out again as if nothing had happened.
Miloslav Bartoš's hometown of Vrchlabí is in the foothills of the mountains. Its name means Upper Elbe, for this is the first town on the river Elbe, which has its source in the mountains above. Here the Elbe is little more than a stream, far from the great, slow-moving river that eventually emerges into the North Sea in Hamburg. The quiet little town of Vrchlabí was founded in the 16th century, and to find out more about its history we need to visit the castle, first going through its great oak front door. And we now come into the castle, just off the main street. It's a Renaissance building.
Here we are in the entrance hall. The castle was built in 1546 by the founder of the town, Christoph of Gendorf. He came from Austria. He made a fortune from mining, and that's why this castle is so grand. We're in the vaulted hall, and you can see antlers on all sides, as well as paintings of forebears that were shot here on the estate. They include the last bear ever to be shot here in the year 1726.
Vrchlabí and the four bears. I feel as though I'm back in the world of fairy tale. And if you head a few hundred metres up the main street from the castle to the square, the illusion continues. The square is lined with log-built cottages, looking for all the world as if they had strayed from one of the Krkonoš legends. The Krkonoshe National Park covers an area of over 40,000 hectares. Until quite recently, the entire area was glacial, and the glaciers carved and rounded the landscape. The flora and fauna are not typical for the Czech Republic. Instead, many of the birds, butterflies and flowers could easily have strayed from Scandinavia. To appreciate the mountains properly, you need to travel from Vrchlabí northwards, up towards the Polish border. We're in the village of Petspodsnieżkow, one of the most popular ski resorts in the Czech Republic, and nestling in a deep valley. At the heart of the village is rather an unusual-looking, modern, wooden building.
My name is Jana Javurková. It's an information center in Petspodsnieżkow. It's a winter sports center, and it's a tourist information and gallery.
Tell me a little bit about the kind of people who come here.
Well, in winter, it's skiers, and in summer, it's more tourists for hiking on the mountains.
And where did people come from? Which countries?
From Poland, from Germany, from Czech Republic, of course, also from Russia, from Holland.
The information center was established by one of Krkonoše's great enthusiasts, Pavel Klimeš.
I reckon that around 2,500 people live here in Pets, but at any one time we may have up to 8,000 visitors. We have ski slopes varying from the easiest, from beginners, to pistes that suit the more ambitious. This is an ideal place for families, and there's a rich tradition of skiing going back over a century.
Pavel Klimeš is from a Czech family. His grandfather moved here just after the war. But he's fascinated by stories from the old Krkonoše, and knows many of the German speakers who for various reasons remained. Every day, the 68-year-old Herbert Berger comes down from his chalet high on the mountains on his snow scooter, looking very much like Krkonoš with his thick red beard covered with snow.
Naši předkové se přistěhovali někdy v 15.
Our ancestors came here way back in the 15th century when their local aristocrat in Austria was trying to persuade people to come here to help cut the beech forests. We used to have a family chronicle where it says that my ancestor built a house on the hillside. We've been there ever since. In 1945, the state confiscated it, but my father bought it back again later.
Že tu zůstane a tak ten barák koupil zpátky. Asi nedopatřením.
We weren't expelled after the war. My father was a prisoner of war in Russia, and then my mother died. We children were on our own, and I think that they pretty much forgot about us up in the hills.
Nechtěli vystěhovat, tak jsme tu zůstali a mě nevystěhovali.
I'm now standing at the top of the village of Petspodsnieżkow, looking down the narrow valley. There are cottages on each side, most of them wooden built, and the valley sides covered with forests. And up above the village is the Czech Republic's tallest mountain, Sněžka, which rises to just over 1,600 meters. And I'm just getting out of the way while a scooter comes by. And just behind me, there are skiers coming down the mountainside, twisting backwards and forwards on this beautiful sunny winter afternoon. A bit further down the hill, the mountain rescue service is always kept busy. And the mountain rescue service has just brought down an injured skier on a stretcher on the back of the scooter. This is part of their everyday work with skiers in the mountains. The rescue station is being manned by Wolfgang Berger, a nephew of Herbert Berger, who we met a short while ago. The pub down the road is run by Herbert Berger's daughter, and another nephew is secretary to the mayor. So this is one village where the events of the 1940s didn't lead to a complete break with the past.
Well, I reckon you could say that it was my family that first settled this place. Under communism, we used to have the occasional problem because we were German. Nothing serious, but the other kids at school did used to laugh sometimes because my name was Wolfgang. But these days, there's nothing like that.
The sometimes hysterical political rhetoric on both sides seems far away when you're actually here in a village like Petspodsnieżkow. Herbert Berger has seen enormous changes since the war.
Das waren meistens Deutschenhasser. Das war nicht so einfach.
In those days, most people hated the Germans. Not many people saw us as people, but today that's forgotten. These days, I can't say I have any complaints, but most of the Germans who stayed, their children don't speak German anymore, and in time, all the Germans here will only speak Czech.
Nur Tschechisch sprechen und nur Tschechien sein.